The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
If only we could show this video on video, Roger.
Yeah, it's an EDM DJ doing Enter the Sandman.
That's a DJ I could get behind.
And in front of and underneath.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, anyway. Sorry, I've got never, distracted there for a minute.
That's the longest I've ever watched
an EDM video. Oh, you know, our buddy's going to be sad to hear all the videos. He says that we don't watch as much.
I know. It's just not my cup of tea.
But that's a female DJ dancing in something with not very supportive top on. I mean, come on.
We should show producer Brett that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, okay.
I'd say hold it up, but it'll get on camera. So
no, I can't have that. But anyway, that's just one of those crazy things that people share sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, someone trying to get me into the EDM music scene, I'm thinking, hey, the DJ like that, I could get into it more. Or the music even. It was Enter Sandman was the song they were doing. And some of these EDM guys are getting into some older music.
Now, if more of them got into to older music and metal, then I might pay attention.
You know, we're going to catch an earful later from a friend of ours.
I'm sure we are. I know we will.
He's sending videos right now.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
That's right, D. We know you're out there. I'm not trying to make fun of you.
Send the good ones. Send the metal ones.
Yeah, that's right. We want to see those.
That would be awesome.
You know what brought back rock and roll in the first place is Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero.
Because you can't Guitar Hero to a song with no guitars in it.
You know what? Have you ever... have you ever, on YouTube, you watched reaction videos?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Some of the only ones I've ever seen, and I didn't even know this existed until the other day, and I stumbled across, it was, I guess, some rap guys or rap enthusiasts listening to Iron Maiden for the first time. That was awesome.
Younger kids who didn't know who they were, you know. Oh, yeah. And sometimes that they really like that stuff.
It's fun to watch, because it's getting new listeners into rock and roll.
Well, there's so much music being released now with all the different avenues. Before, it used to be if you heard it on the radio, you could hear it.
Yeah.
Now it's like you can hear it in videos. Oh, you can hear it in social media. You can hear it sent through friends. I mean, you have your private label send music out there. With no problem. It's the amount of information and music and stuff out there is just unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it really is when you think about it.
You know, there are old bands I wish would bring back their stuff and put it on YouTube. Like
Pointless.
Yeah. Jinx.
You know, I'll have to talk with Greg, you know, the guitarist for Pointless. We might need to...
if you have the recordings, you probably put them on there. Yeah, you'll have to find something to post. Like maybe a picture of the band back in the day.
We'll put a picture of the band.
Back in the day is the background for YouTube. That is funny.
We made a picture that was going to be our CD cover when we did our demo.
That's how long ago this was. There were CDs back then.
This was long. Yeah, this is.
Now someone goes, CD, what's that?
You know, remember, before I was with Pointless, I was with a band called Stingray.
That's
and
right.
When we did our demo, it was on tape.
Yeah.
It was ADAC or tape. I don't remember.
Well, some of the stuff is still done on tape, but most of it is digital.
Well, true,
now.
But then they immediately put on CD. Well, we didn't have CDs back. This is old.
No, I have an old cassette tape of your band.
Yeah.
Pointless. Yeah, I have them.
But with Pointless, we were able to go straight to CD with it, and we made a tape too, but we went to CD and, that was fun, but I've got some old pictures and, boy, it would be quite laughable.
It'll show a different side to the On Point with Victor show.
It sure would. It sure would. And you know what I might start doing? You know, the intro music for me is Pointless music.
For those of you who don't know, Vic is the bass player in the intro music.
For the intro music for the On Point with Victor show.
That's right.
He's not just a pretty face
with a voice for radio.
That's right. I tell you. It was fun. I loved it. I miss playing in the band. I'd like to, we need to, well, I actually, that's a good thing.
You can be in a new Silver Centrum band.
Oh, that's absolutely right. We could do commercials for, whatever those vitamins are that people take when they get old.
That's right.
We can be a commercial for that.
Don't stop playing just because you're old.
But, because my goodness.
Keith Richards could be your spokesperson.
Absolutely.
He's been dead for
years. Because, you know, now that I think about it, the guitarist and the drummer for Pointless are both older than me. and I'm no spring chicken.
That's right.
So, yeah, Roger, we might have to do, it was good times, good times, good times. I love it and miss it. But I, you know, I was thinking the other day, I listened to Sirius Satellite, and there's a station on there that allows you to take over the station. They allow listeners to take over a station and play like two or three songs.
Oh.
And I was thinking about seeing if I can't get picked for that and play a Pointless song.
Yeah, or two or three of them.
Or two or three of them. But then the problem is, they would probably be such big hits that we would have to reform the band and go on a reunion tour.
And then you have to take
time for that?
Leave of absence from your job and everything. It's a hassle.
It would be worth it.
Yeah,
well, it would be worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're out in L.A., the guitarist for Pointless is playing with another band right now.
Mancini Rocks.
Mancini Rocks, and they're out there playing all over the place.
Yeah, they're at the Whiskey.
At the Whiskey Go-Go.
The Rainbow Room.
You know how many famous people have played the Whiskey Go-Go?
Well, we know one.
It's pretty awesome.
The guitar player from Mancini Rocks.
Who is formerly of Pointless.
That's right.
I mean, it's pretty freaking awesome.
And I think he was also in the Schizophrenics.
He was in the Schizophrenics.
There we go, see?
And I was there for the Schizophrenics when they had the brawl.
People were trying to get in to see that. We were at capacity. It was a fight. People were trying to get in to see the show. Oh, God, that was crazy.
Oh, the Schizophrenics. I have a tape of the Schizophrenics.
Oh, wow.
And that was way back then. I was a wee teenager.
That was when tape was...
I was a preteen.
That was when tape was cutting edge.
It was cutting edge. I mean, man, to have a tape. But, oh, my gosh, Schizophrenics was... You know, they had some great tunes.
Oh, yeah, they did.
We used to play... As a band, Pointless, we covered a Schizophrenics tune. She's Electric.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I have a great story about She's Electric.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have time for that now? Can you say it on the radio?
I kind of can.
Can you say it on the radio?
So
edited for radio content.
So we were rehearsing. All right. So Pointless. Listen, Pointless is like a soap opera. Being in the band, Pointless was like a soap opera. So
any band.
Probably. So we had this really cool bike shop, Roger, you will remember.
I do.
That we had, there was a hidden room behind one of the walls, and that's where we used to practice. We would rehearse. Pointless went through a time where we lost our singer because our singer slept with a rhythm guitarist and got pregnant, and then the rhythm guitarist had to break up with his other girlfriend. It was a mess.
We're denying calls from Jerry Springer left and right trying to out of the media.
When I tell you it was a soap opera, it was a soap opera. So we lost, in 1 week we lost our rhythm guitarist and our singer. And, so we started auditioning singers. Well, we just had people coming in. It was like a revolving door, and they'd come into the cycle shop, and we'd go to the rehearsal room, and
see if they had the song that you guys knew.
The song that we used for rehearsal was She's Electric, which was a Schizophrenic song. And She's Electric was a fast jamming song, but it also required a decent range for you to sing.
Okay, range was required.
Yeah, so it was a good way to test these singers. Well, let's just say our drummer, is the epitome of a, truck driver from the South.
He
didn't have much of a filter, especially when he didn't know who he was talking to.
He thought he was talking to one of his bandmates.
Thought he was talking to one of the bandmates.
He was talking to one of the interviewees.
But he was talking to one of the interviewees, exactly. So we're back there and we start playing She's Electric, and we have this, let's just say, this alternative. Now, listen, Pointless, we were an equal opportunity. We didn't care who
you
were.
Equal opportunity offender.
Well, that too. But we didn't care who you were. If you could sing, you could be in the band.
You're hired.
And we had this, let's just say, alternative lifestyle dude come in. He pranced his way through the cycle shop and right into the band room, but the guy could sing. So we were like, dude, we don't care. You can tap dance all you want as long as you're singing the songs and singing them right.
It comes out right, yeah.
And so he starts singing She's Electric. Well, he added a part to She's Electric that we've never wanted to add.
He added some vocal styling.
Yes, he added some vocal styling as a backup styling, it wasn't going to happen. But we were I was laughing my ass off, and the drummer's laughing, and we were nice. We were just like, oh no, this isn't going to work. But we didn't say anything.
But he was a good singer.
He was. He was a good singer, and we really wanted to use him. But we weren't gonna.
He was a little too.
He wasn't
pop
gonna
at the time.
Flamboyant the song like he did. We just couldn't do that. But during a break, this auditioning singer decided to go take a bathroom break. So he heads up to the bathroom. Well, shortly after
Now keep in mind, The cycle shop was pretty dark because they had all the lights off, so nobody would just stop by people who are supposed to.
So it was pretty dark, and I believe the bathroom door was black.
And the ceiling was black because somebody chose black ceilings for our bathroom. Gee, we had 360-watt bulbs in there and a huge bathroom that had black ceilings. It was like a bat cave in there.
It was a bat cave, and we're going to let that person remain nameless. But this singer goes in, this auditioning singer goes into the bathroom, so it's hard to see as it is. And then our drummer proceeds to go into the bathroom thinking that Greg were in the bathroom. Uses a derogatory
alternative sexual lifestyle slur.
That he never meant it in a bad way. He didn't mean it and he didn't mean to do it towards this guy, but it just happened to be that this auditioning alternative lifestyle singer was the only one in the bathroom.
Instead of the other two people
and
we thought were
I
there.
I tell you what, this was the only singer where we didn't have to let down gently. He came out of that bathroom, got his stuff, and walked out the door. he said, "This just isn't the band for me." So thanks to the drummer, we didn't have to let him down.
You didn't have to cut him loose. Yeah. Yay.
So, it's just
improper use of slurs, yes.
Yeah, so that's a good point of the story.
Southern truck driver,
Boy, exactly. But I have so many pointless stories,
but
Roger.
But there's so many alternative means for information now. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's kind of funny because somebody was talking to me about Trump the other day. And they were telling me all these things, and I'm going, you're hearing one side of the story. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, Trump's the guy the Democrats hate. The Republicans don't like. The media and anybody with anything to hide doesn't want him anywhere near a public forum.
Right.
Because he has too much information on too many people. And his motivation, from what I can tell, he doesn't need the money.
Nope.
He's one of the only presidents in the past 50 years that has left office with less value than he went in with. Every other president's come out worth more than they went in.
And now they're really trying to break him. They're trying to bankrupt the guy.
Right.
And they don't like him.
Well, no, they don't like him. And
the biggest thing is they don't want you and me to have the option to vote for him.
Right. And if you take somebody off the ballot because you don't like them,
the party that says they stand for democracy is afraid of democracy because they're afraid of the outcome.
Right. Because they don't want democracy. If they have it locked down, then they can make it look like democracy.
Right. They want authoritarian pretend democracy is what they want.
Right. And that's all over the world. There's other places you can get that.
We're getting requests, Roger, for the video.
Yeah. Well, I sent out the link to our certain people. Maybe I need a new phone just for Locked and Loaded.
Apparently,
stuff that I can't post anywhere.
Apparently, you need to become a member of whatever.
Oh, the group?
The group that you sent, so you can watch. So
I'll have to see if I can find it somewhere else. Then.
So if you go out there and become a member of the meme or the group that Roger sent out, you can see the meme.
What was it?
You can see the EEO. Wait, what is it?
Offensive, tasteless, something like that. Yes.
Boy, who wouldn't want to be a part of that group?
I know. Could be offensive, and tasteless, and something else. I can't remember.
And it's ED.
Nasty, tasteless, and offensive memes 2.
All right.
Number 2. Nasty, tasteless, and offensive memes. I don't know if I'm allowed to promote that,
but I
just did.
And the video is...
it's an EDM cover.
EDM. I can't remember the
EDM cover of Enter the Sandman.
Holy crap, I'm sinking.
You push the lever.
What's EDM? What is that? Electric...
Electric dance music. Electronic dance music, I think. If I'm wrong, I'm sure I'll get a text in about a minute.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure I'll get corrected on that just a moment.
He's up. Yeah. I'm surprised he's not blasting us already.
But yeah, no matter what kind of music you like, if you're straight, you will like this DJ. If you're a male.
Even
some females too, even if you're not straight.
You could not be a straight female and you're gonna like that video.
Oh yeah, it's great. This girl who DJs is just amazing. She's got some moves, boy.
She does have some moves.
And she does good with the song too.
It's basically one move, but it's a good move.
Yeah. What is that thing? Oh, that guy said something to me about my mom and I said, yeah, well your mom. He said something about my mom and I said, oh yeah, your mom was the first one to jump on a jumpaline. And then they started calling it a trampoline after that. But yeah, it's just...
Why do they call it a trampoline?
It's a good question. The girls that first jumped on it.
Oh,
maybe the naked guys. I don't know.
That's funny.
But yeah, so that was an, it was an interesting video. But yeah, that was, I thought about that with Trump and I was thinking, all people see, all the media is going to portray, the mainstream media, is the negative side of him because they don't want you to vote for him because he is going to make them tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, the Democrats, the Republicans, none of them want you to know the truth.
No.
There's too much. There's too much.
That's true.
Too much out there that they have to CYA on. They got to cover their asses on too many things.
Well, think
to
about
get the
it.
Truth out there.
Think about it. The very people that are trying to persecute Donald Trump for paying a porn star, the very people in the House and the Senate had a taxpayer-funded slush fund for the purpose of paying off
porn
their
stars.
Transgressions.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't. You can't make this
stuff
up.
And that wasn't. You know, they discovered it, but it wasn't supposed to be public knowledge.
It wasn't supposed to be public knowledge.
Right.
Your money, our money.
Let's go to
these
pay
bozos
off.
Are going to pay off people.
That they had in
and we weren't supposed to know
yes.
about it. Crazy.
Yeah, but yet they're bashing Trump for the same thing, and he did it with his own money.
And, exactly. And man, we don't, and you know,
but
she actually came out and said it never happened.
Oh.
She's on record as saying it never happened, so.
Yeah,
whether it happened
sketchy.
Or not doesn't matter. It's not the point. The point of the matter is Donald Trump didn't do anything. There's no crime and no
victim.
Did he
ever deny it?
Donald Trump? Oh, yeah. He's denied it the whole time.
Okay.
He doesn't deny paying her. He just denies the actions they said happened.
So like Bill Clinton. I never had sex with that woman.
Yeah.
Well, except for that one time.
You know, that's a great point, Roger. Bill Clinton had to pay way more. I want to say he paid almost $1 million to shut up.
Well, he had a lot of people
to pay off women.
He had a bigger.
And we know he. Well, let's just say he left evidence.
He lied.
That we know, and then he lied to the American people's
Congress.
Face.
He lied under oath in Congress and said no.
But he got away with it.
He didn't get away with it. He still knew he did it because she came forward and said, yeah, I have the dress.
He got reelected.
He was like, whoops.
He got reelected, so he got away with it.
But you know what? That's his personal. That's between him and Hillary.
But still, I mean, yeah, exactly. Who cares? But,
who cares? That's not his. That's not.
And then Hillary. Hillary had to pay $107,000 fine for making an accounting error, which is what they're saying Trump did.
Accounting.
I don't remember
error.
Her getting dragged into court.
No, of course not, because she wasn't a threat to the system.
Well, because she's a Democrat.
Well,
she is the system.
Yep. And even a lot of Republicans are the system.
Establishment Republicans.
That's right. There's not enough people who are not in the system.
Being led by that idiot Lindsey Graham. I am sick of that.
There we go.
Do you know this bozo was on the... he was on some news show the other day blasting his fellow Republican. Not blasting a Democrat. He's blasting another Republican, J.D. Vance of Ohio. I would take 100,000 J.D. Vances to get rid of Lindsey Graham.
One Lindsey Graham?
100%.
Yep.
100%.
Well, that's the thing. Well, because Lindsey Graham is in the establishment. He's in the Washington elite. The Democrats, the established Republicans, they're all in the same. Everyone thinks they're miles apart. They're inches apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think there's so many bills that include foreign aid? Because every single foreign aid bill they pay out, there's something coming back to them.
And, you know, there's some foreign aid that's probably a good thing. But if we're giving money to our enemies, that's stupid.
Yeah, didn't Biden give $10 billion to Iran?
He made Iran rich again. There's a reason that Russia and Iran didn't attack anybody under Donald Trump. The biggest reason, not just that they were afraid of what Donald Trump would do, they were broke because of Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump talked to Putin directly and said, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And he told him, I don't want you putting nuclear missiles on my border.
Right.
And so Trump said,
we're not going to do that.
Okay. We'll keep the Ukraine out of NATO.
Yep.
So we'll keep the missiles off your border and fine. And we had peace for four years.
Which is the way it should have been. But he also broke Russia. He wasn't allowing Russia to, he stopped the pipeline. Who started the pipeline? Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But Trump stopped it.
Oh, no. Biden stopped the pipeline here in America, though.
Oh, he did. He did.
He didn't want us to have a pipeline.
Absolutely.
But he wanted the Russians
to
have
one. But he let the Russian have one. He let the Russians have one so they could get rich.
If that doesn't scream kickback, I don't know what does.
Oh, man. The Biden family's gotten so rich.
If you've got a forensic account to go through,
the Clintons, the Biden, the Obamas, look at the money they've made. It wasn't from the salary.
Right. And then Trump didn't even take his salary.
And Trump didn't take
every quarter he would donate $100,000 to some area of the government. Parks and Recreation, Forest Services, all
it's
stuff.
It's crazy to me that people can can't see this stuff right in front of their face, the one guy out there right now that's not beholden to lobbyists or special interests is Donald Trump.
Yeah. And now he's got a big mouth and he says some stuff he shouldn't say.
He does.
He does. And I wish sometimes he wouldn't. I hear him say stuff and I'm just cringe because I'm going, yeah. Why would you even address that?
Mm-hmm.
You are so far above that. Don't drag yourself down to their level.
Just stick
you know?
To the issues. Like right now, he should leave court every day and go straight to the Harlems, the Queens, the Brooklyns, the Bronx.
Yeah.
Head over to Jersey, Elizabethtown or?
Yeah, Elizabethtown.
Go to these places. They're not far from New York, so you can do it. Trump, what he needs to do right now is seize the moment. He needs to seize the moment. He needs to be that
Take
guy.
Advantage of the possible yeah, publicity
because
here.
They're not going to get out of court. They've done that. They figured out how to drag you to court, and that's what they're going to do. So nothing you can say
now,
is going to get you
out of the first time they dragged him out because he paid back a loan and they didn't think.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no victim.
How was
no
there a crime?
Once
there?
Again, there was no crime, no victim, nothing. They just got in front of a judge, and now Trump, I mean, he was gonna lose no matter what, I think, but they did. Trump's team made the mistake of refusing a jury, and he should have taken the jury.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the radical judge.
Would he be able to get an honest jury in
probably
New York,
not.
Though?
Probably not, but it would have slowed it down. It would have slowed the whole process down. But by taking the judge, and the judge, the radical judge, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't even know how, what charges.
But there was no crime.
I don't even know what charges they would bring against
the bank they said was defrauded was a witness on behalf of Trump.
And said,
that's how messed up
the case was. He paid us back. Everything was fine. He got our interest.
That's how messed up the case was. And that,
So who brought the charges then?
The DA of New York. The Democrats.
Oh, okay.
They're working with the Biden DOJ.
But what was the crime? Anyway, was there a crime?
There was no crime. They just said he overvaluated. He lied about.
So I the mean, bank it's, overvaluated it's, it because they have to do their due diligence.
Well, they do their due diligence. But anybody, I mean, anybody who sells something is going to start high.
I mean, my
high.
House is
if
a two-bedroom bungalow.
Smart, they're going to start high.
My camper in North Georgia is worth like $2 million.
Exactly.
But what bank
exactly.
is going to come
what
there
bank
and loan
is
me
give
that
you $2 million? Yeah,
based
no
on my
bank
word.
In the world is going to do that.
No.
And so that's why there was no victim, there was no crime, but they
now,
still
if the bank had complained
to,
that they
oh,
took
then,
his word,
then that'd be a different story.
Be a different story. But nobody complained about this that was involved in the deal.
In fact, that bank on the witness stand said, we would do business with Donald Trump again. We want to do business with
so
Donald
how
Trump.
How can there even be a case if there's nobody bringing forth a charge?
Because all you got to do is get it to trial. And that's what they
Jeez.
Did. And,
now,
based
I wonder
on
if,
a fake.
I wonder if all the other developers in New York are looking at this
they're
going,
leaving.
You know?
New York is going to be devastated because of what they did to Trump because now the other developers are like, screw this. They
I'm
already
take
had
a chance
of,
that they're
going
to
They
just...
already had a couple of big developers leave.
Because I mean, they're going, yeah, I'm not going
to
do this in
They're
New
going
York
to Florida and places like that.
Well, Florida has no state taxes.
Yeah, I know.
Tennessee has no state taxes.
But I mean,
Texas has no state taxes.
The history of New York, it's sad what they're doing to New York. The Democrats are killing New York.
And all the illegals are bringing
in. In the name of going after a political opponent because they don't want you to be able to vote for them. Because
right.
they don't trust you.
Oh, yeah. See, now that's third world banana republic stuff.
It's very banana republic. Very
so
authoritarian
crazy.
Third world crap. But that's your Democrat Party of today.
Yeah. That's and that's the same. And like I said, let's link this back for a moment.
So now
why do you think the Democrat Party is after the guns? Why do they want to keep you from having them?
Because they're afraid you'll point them at them.
Right. What are they planning on doing that's going to make them so afraid that if the public has
the
their
public
right to keep
would,
and bear arms?
Then an innocent,
what are they planning on?
An innocent citizen of this country, they're afraid of. They're not afraid of the criminal. They want the criminals out. They want them loose. They want them weaponized.
What is the guy who got released and then shot a cop? Yeah. Like he got released like four or five times in a row.
More than that.
And
more
he
than that.
Ended up shooting
and
a police officer.
And he killed a young police officer with a young baby. And, killed this guy.
Because the New York justice system
Democrats
has
have
no
problem.
Justice. Yeah.
They have no problem with that.
And
if
they covered it up as quick as it came out.
They even said illegals can have guns in this country, but you, the citizen, can't. They actually have gone that far.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I did
you
not
can,
hear
you
about
can look
that.
Up
That's
the article.
Crazy.
I'll try to send it to you. But you can look it up. They actually ruled illegal aliens can have guns.
See, now
while at the same time going after
that violates
the
federal law because you have
100%.
To be a citizen
yeah,
to be able to purchase
to,
a weapon.
To afford
a citizen
the,
in good standing.
Yeah, to afford the protections of the United States Constitution, you must be a citizen.
So how are they going to run a background check on somebody who's illegally here in the country?
But that's the point. They don't mind. Criminals with weapons create chaos, and chaos is good for Democrats.
Because you want, there are so many people in this country.
But a citizen with a weapon, the Second Amendment on their side.
There's too many people in this country who are too willing to trade temporary security for their freedom.
That's right. And I think it was Ben Franklin that said,
if you're willing to trade temporary security for freedom, you deserve neither.
If you're willing to give up freedom in the name of security, you deserve neither.
Yep. And that and that's exactly what's happening here. But the thing is, the politicians have elevated themselves to a point where people believe they are some sort of celebrity.
Yeah.
Or that they're above common citizens.
Yep.
When people will say, oh, well, he's a sitting senator. He's a representative of the people from the state he's from.
Exactly.
He is nothing more than a representative. He's supposed to represent their best interest, not his own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy. Well, Roger, I guess you have some gun stuff to get to.
Yeah, we'll get into some of that. It was fun reminiscing about the band stuff, though.
Yeah, it was.
Now we'll have to get online and get some content out there for everybody who's curious.
You know, we'll have to do that. If anybody wants the music, just email me or Roger. Victor@AmericasWebRadio.com, Roger@AmericasWebRadio.com, and we'll get some music to you if you want.
I prefer the gun questions, but you know.
Right. But if you want some pointless music.
Yes. Email Victor. Ask him. Hey, we need to work on getting that on
YouTube.
We'll
see if we can't post it. Let's see. I'll talk to Greg, and he's the technology guy.
Well, we have a technology guy here, too. Maybe he can do it.
Ooh, maybe Brett can do it.
Yeah.
Producer Brett, we got a question for you.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, on to gun stuff.
Get out of there. I'm going to go ahead and take this over now. We get back to the gun world. Because I know I talk a lot about buying your first handgun, and I tell people, go to the store, put it in your hand, see if it fits. And then someone asked me one day, they're going, well, how do you know if it fits? And I thought, oh, what should I look for in a gun besides whether I can hold it in my hand? And I thought about that, and I said, almost any gun you pick up will feel okay. Because they're ergonomically designed to fit human hands, and unless you have some ridiculously weird, misshapen, odd hand, you're going to be able to pick up a gun, and it will fit pretty closely, you know, but there's so much more to it than that. It's not a matter of just how it fits, it's how it fits when it's going to be in use. So that's something you have to consider. But I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. Right now, I was told we need to take a quick break. So we're going to do that now, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you all about things you need to look for when you're purchasing your first handgun. This is handgun only, and we're going to concentrate on semi-automatics with a little bit of revolver thrown in there. We'll get into that as soon as we get back. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2 only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, right before we left for the break, I said I was going to spend some time explaining to you if you're looking for your first handgun or looking to purchase an additional handgun, or if you want some information to help somebody else choose. If you're going with somebody, these are things you can have them consider while you're helping them. And I know a lot of people have their favorite handgun, and that's what they're going to recommend to everybody. And not everybody has the same needs, the same requirements, have the same size hands, same length of fingers or thickness of fingers. All those things are going to matter. Also, some people want something with a little heavier trigger. Some people want a lighter trigger. If you're using it for competition, you're looking for a whole different weapon than if you're looking for an everyday defensive gun. And the first thing you need to look for is the size of the weapon. And they start off with a subcompact. This is one of the smallest guns you can get They're relatively small by frame. Some of them have a good capacity. Some of them are tiny, like the subcompacts is what I'm going to call them. The 380s, the stuff like that, the super small 9mm. Those are the subcompacts. And they have the subcompact guns. And depending on the brand, these will be guns that are smaller than a standard issue pistol, but a little bigger than the super subcompacts. Usually super subcompacts have a single stack magazine, so they're very thin, very easy to conceal, and they usually carry a smaller caliber, a 380, sometimes a 9mm. But most of the 9mm are going to be the standard subcompact guns. And now this has been an area that's boomed lately because the subcompacts have come out with a variety of choices that has never been available before, because apparently manufacturers have figured out how to fit more rounds in a magazine and make it work properly, function reliably, and that makes a huge difference in the kind of weapon you can get now. But once you decide, do you want something you can carry in your pocket? Do you want something you can wear in a holster? Do you want something you're going to wear on an outside holster, like you're working in a rural area and you don't need to carry your gun concealed? Figure out what size gun you're going to want, and that depends on what you're going to use it for. And we got the subcompacts, the subcompacts, a compact, a mid-size, a full-size, and a competition-sized. Now, the competition size is going to be the biggest one, longest grip, highest capacity, longest barrel. These are going to be the ones that are going to be easiest to shoot. They'll be the most accurate, more than likely, in anybody's hands, because they are built for accuracy and capacity over concealability. Now, the full size, this is more like if you're a bigger person or if you carry with a heavy jacket all the time, you may carry a full size weapon. Now, I'm going to throw some stuff out there. Now, this is just, I'm going to use Glock because they are the most prolific of all the standard carry pistols. Now, there are other companies coming up fast. Like the subcompacts, probably one of the most famous ones is the SIG P365. But before that, there was the Glock 26, 27, which is 9mm and 40 cal. But they were still pretty big and blocky. And since then, they've come out with the 42 and 43 on the Glocks, which are 9mm and 380. And there's also Ruger makes some subcompacts. So does Taurus, HK, Springfield, SIG. Any brand you want to consider, they make subcompact guns. Then you get into the compact size. Now, this is where things are a little bit different. Because in a compact gun, it depends on how you're sizing it. Most of these are going to be small enough to carry, but maybe not big enough to put your entire hand on to where all your fingers are supported. And then you get to the mid-size, which is probably the most popular size weapon for carry. This would be like a Glock 19, which is probably the most popular mid-sized gun in the world, I'd be willing to bet. And Beretta makes versions of this, SIG, HK, Walther, FN. They all make versions of a mid-sized gun. Or a compact. Depends on how you're going to look at it. With the advent of the super subcompacts, the mid-size and compact kind of blended a little bit, and they've almost opened a new category up because they've gotten so much smaller than the compacts used to be. It almost puts them into a subcompact category. But anyway, so you've got the mid-size. This is a really good size for carrying, but also gives all your fingers full support. It's easy to take to the range because the smaller, lighter guns, of course, are going to be recoiling a lot harder because they're designed for one purpose and one purpose only. They're designed for self-defense and concealability. Now, with a mid-size gun like a Glock 19 or a Smith & Wesson compact or something like that, those are going to be more for everyday carry for a larger gun, a little bit larger gun than a compact, but they're still going to be almost the size of a regular service pistol, which is what I would call a full size. That would be like the SIG 226, the SIG, P18, P17s, and then the Glock 17. These are all weapons. The HK VP9 in the standard size is going to be the standard size, full size weapon. And all those are going to be probably not something you're going to carry every day unless you carry a gun every day for a living. Some people do this. Security guards, any kind of law enforcement, they may carry a full-size weapon, but probably not. Most of them are going to carry the mid-size because they're close enough to a full-size to provide good grip, good handling, coverage for all your fingers to stay on the weapon while you're firing, and they're not too small to where they're difficult to use. So you've gone through, you've looked at several sizes of several different brands, you picked out one you think you like, or you start, you find the size, then you go look at all the brands. You grab the gun, you see how it feels. Now here's one thing, people grab a gun, almost any gun is gonna feel somewhat ergonomically okay, but what you wanna do is put your hand on it and grab it as you would naturally, and then pick it up and point it, and see if the sights are lining up. If they're not, try it again, try it a third time, try a different gun, and see if you find one that when you pick it up and point it, it points more naturally for you. Now, this is going to have a lot to do with the grip on the weapon. And there are things such as grip angle, grip texture. Now, most modern weapons are going to have, in a semi-automatic, they're going to have adjustable grip modules, panels, back straps, and all these are going to be able to adjust the size of the grip. Now, when you grip the gun, your finger should naturally come to rest on the trigger at a point where it's far enough away to have some bend in it, but not to where you have to almost wrap it around to get a tight grip on the weapon. You don't want to have it too close to your fingers. Now, if you have really small hands, you don't want a trigger that you have to reach out too far for. If you can barely get your finger on the trigger, then the gun is probably too large for everyday use. However, with the adjustability of grips that most companies offer today, this is something you can change. Almost every gun today has an adjustable backstrap. What this does, it can change the distance between your hand fitting on the gun and how far your finger is from the trigger. Smaller grip backstraps can move your finger closer to the trigger. Larger ones can pull it a little further back. And then some guns also have total grip modules. Like I know the SIG is famous for this. They have modules where the whole gun itself, the part that's a registered gun, fits inside a completely different plastic grip, which can be smaller, larger, contoured different ways, so you can find one that fits your hand. Because you want to have that natural pointing ability with a gun that you're going to carry for self-defense, or any gun that you want to use and be comfortable with. You want it, when you pick it up and point it, it's almost on target. And if it's not, that's something you may want to learn to do, or find a gun that points more naturally, at least closer when you start off. Find a gun that points naturally for you. Now, this is something that's different for everybody. Now, granted, if you know a little bit about weapons, you probably have a little better chance of picking one up and pointing it naturally than someone who doesn't know anything about it. And this is where you have to guide somebody a little bit. Show them how they're going to be holding it, where their fingers are going to be, how their grip is going to be. I see so many people, there's some videos where they're gripping the gun and they're shooting it, and there's about a half inch to three quarters of an inch of gap between the web of their hand and the top of the grip. That grip should fit directly between your thumb and forefinger and fill that web up, and you should be pushed as high up as you can on that weapon. And the reason why is because as high up as you are, you want to get your hand as high up on the grip so the bore, the barrel, is not that far above where your hand is holding the weapon. That's called the bore axis alignment, or the bore axis distance. The distance between the top of your hand and the where the barrel sits in the weapon. Because the higher that barrel sits in that weapon, the more muzzle flip you're going to have, the more of an angle there is. The distance, the longer it gets between the bore and your hand, is going to give the gun more leverage to flip back on you. So you want something that your hand can fit in, grip as high as possible on the grip, and keep that bore axis low, because that's going to be able to control your recoil. Now, this is adjustable too, with different grip modules, different back straps, and some guns even have adjustable side panels. In fact, there's one I want to mention just because they have a extremely versatile grip package that comes with their weapons, and that's the HK VP9. Give them a shout out, because they have in their box, it comes with three different back straps, small, medium, large, three different left side panels, and three different right side panels. So you have a huge range. That's nine different panels you can put in this gun in any combination you want to make that grip fit the owner as perfectly as it possibly can. And it does, it takes a while to find your right mix, because, you know, one side you may want it lower, the other side you may want it higher. The back you may want higher, lower, closer in, further back, depending on where your finger is reaching the trigger. So this gives you a lot of adjustability. Most of them have at least three different back straps or grip modules you can get into that'll give you a small, medium, and large. And that fits a majority of people. I know the Smith & Wessons, the Rugers have a couple. Smith & Wesson usually comes with three. Glock usually comes with two or three. I'm not sure about the CZs or the Springfields. I know they have some. I have a SIG that has zero grip modules or not grip modules, but grip adjustment panels. Now, some of the newer ones may have this. I'm not sure. But the SIG uses the module way of doing things. They change the entire plastic grip. What looks like the frame of the gun, although it's not, what looks like the frame of the gun is adjustable. You can buy a new one for between $75 and $100 and swap it between a compact, a subcompact, and a full-size gun to, based on the grip module you're using. So that gives you a lot of adjustability there. So that's something to consider. If you want to have a compact gun and a full-size gun at the same, using the same mechanics, you can do that with the SIGs. Most of the other ones have just usually adjustable back straps is the number one thing. I know the, like I say, the Glocks, the Smith & Wessons, the Canics all have the three different grip panels or back straps usually included with the new weapons, so you can adjust those. So now you've got your gun. You figured out what kind of gun you like. You've got good finger adjustability. You're able to grip it high up on the frame. The grip modules or grip panels or back straps are adjusted to where you want them. Now you get into the other parts of the gun that are a little more universal. I mean, the grip is something that's going to be personal to each person. They're going to have to decide how they want it to be most effective for them. There are guidelines you can follow. High up on the grip as high as you can. Make sure your rear of your hands can seal up against the back of the gun to leave very little or no gap between the backs of your hands. The back of your palm should close up on the gun when you're gripping it. Fingers should overlap in the front. And your thumbs should both ride on one side of the weapon, not over the back of it. Like I see some people shoot, and it just makes me cringe, because if you have bigger hands and you run that thumb on the opposite side, you run it over the top of the, or over the back of the gun, that's a good chance the slide will bite you. And you don't want to do that because it hurts. Okay, so now you've got your grip modules, you got your back straps, you're all set up, you're ready to go shoot this gun. Now you want to have somebody evaluate the trigger for you. And the trigger has a bunch of different features that you're going to have to learn to use, learn to look for if you're purchasing a weapon. Now, if you're looking for something as a carry gun, you want something with a decent pull weight, not too light, not too heavy. Usually these range between 2.5 and up to 10 pounds for certain guns, although 10 pounds is ridiculously high, and that's what the New York City Police Department opted for with their Glocks. So they have a Glock 10-pound trigger, which basically means you have to put 10 pounds of pressure on a 2-pound gun in order to get it to fire. To me, that would seem like a high likely of missing your target. But a standard Glock, I think, has a 4.5-pound trigger. Most manufacturers will run in the 3.5 to 5-pound range. Some will be a little heavier. But some of that is adjustable. Most of it's not. But you want to have a decent pull weight that you're comfortable with and that's easy for you to use, but not so light that it's going to possibly enable negligent discharges. So you want a weight that's light. You want the trigger face to be comfortable for you. Some of them are radius, they're curved in the front. Some are flat across the front. And it depends on where the trigger breaks, too. Some of them will break all the way back. Some break at a 90-degree angle, which is something I prefer. But you want it to break and know where it is, and you have to see how much take-up there is on it. Now, the take-up is when you pull the trigger, especially on a double-action gun or a striker-fired gun, you're going to have some movement of the trigger before it comes to the point of hitting the sear to disengage to fire the weapon. And that take-up, depending on how heavy it is, how light it is, how much of it there is, how smooth it is all going to be something you're going to have to evaluate. And that's where you need somebody, if you can. Now, you can go to a gun store, get them to help you, ask them the questions. Say, how is the take-up on this gun? How is the pull weight on this gun? And they'll tell you their favorites, hopefully, and give you a place to start, maybe. But you got to feel it for yourself. And the trigger face, like I say, some are radius, some are flat. And a lot of the striker-fired guns have safety devices built into the trigger. This is for striker fired only. And it's either going to be a flat lever that you depress as you start pushing the trigger, or it can be a skinny blade lever that you depress as you pull the trigger, or some, in some cases, it's a mix of the two. You're going to have a little wider blade that's not quite a flat face. And sometimes they're textured, sometimes they're smooth. It just depends on how they're put together. You have to find one that you like the feel of, that you have are comfortable with, and that is up to your skill level. As you advance your skill level, you may decide you want a wider trigger with a flatter safety device. You may want a skinnier one with a blade-type design for safety. All these things are going to be things you're going to have to look at when you're purchasing your weapon. You have to look at that trigger and decide if it's the way you want it to be, if it's going to be safe for you, if you can deal with the way it is. And all these things are going to matter. Now, also, one thing I missed on the grip is when you grip a weapon, there's a distance between the rear of the trigger guard and the beginning of the front strap that usually in a well-made weapon will have a little bit of an undercut in there, meaning it'll cut out so your hand again can get up into the frame and grip as high as possible. And that's something that will help you reach the trigger and get the best grip on it. And that's going to make a difference when you pull that trigger. So you got your take up. That's a distance from the front of the trigger to where it engages, starts to engage the sear. Now you want that to be smooth, not too heavy. And you want it to hit a wall on a striker fired gun. You want it to hit that wall, double action or striker fired. You want it to kind of hit a wall. That's, you know, you can pull that take up to that point. The next bit of pull is going to be firing the weapon. Then you get into trigger reset. This is something that you probably don't notice unless you shoot a lot or shoot in competition or are more of an enthusiast. The trigger reset, the best way to describe this is you fire the trigger, hold the trigger back, rack the weapon again, release the trigger slowly and see how much room, how much distance it has to move before there's a click to reset it. And that click on a reset should be both audible, you should be able to hear it click, and it should be tactile. You should feel that click when you release your finger, you should feel the click. So you know when you release that, as soon as you hear that click, you can go back into pulling again and fire the weapon again. As you get better, as you learn your weapon, you're going to know exactly where that reset is, and you're going to be able to fire faster and more accurately by knowing where that is, because you can feel it, you can hear it. Mostly, when you're shooting a gun, you're going to feel that reset. And like I say, the way to do that is pull the trigger on one that's been racked, rack it while holding your finger depressed on the trigger, and release it. Now, some of these new weapons have a reset. I heard one the other day, as a Canic, they have a reset of 1.3 millimeters, which means that trigger has to move 1.3 millimeters forward after firing to reset for the second shot, which gives you a very good capability of making double shots or even triple shots, firing faster and faster, having better control over your weapon. But now a lot of that may be better for competition than it is for a self-defense weapon. As long as it has a decent take up with a reasonable amount of weight, so there's no chance of accidental discharge, that's what you're trying to avoid here, but you want to have that trigger consistency. That's where you get into different guns. If you have a single action, double action gun, the first pull of that trigger is going to be very long, pretty heavy, and then once it breaks and the gun fires the first time, the slide goes back, racks the weapon. And then the next trigger pull is going to be what they call single action, which means there'll be very little take up. If it's a good trigger, there'll be very little take up on a single action trigger pull. And you also want to feel for smoothness, because a lot of guns, you get them from the factory even, and they're kind of gritty. You can almost feel like there's sand in the trigger. Now, a lot of this can be eliminated just by cleaning the weapon, re-oiling it, cleaning all the dirt and factory, you know, grit and pieces out of it, because when they're machined, some of the machine stuff stays in there. So you want to clean any weapon thoroughly before you start using it. Wipe it down at least, you know, soak it through with some oil or some kind of lubricant, wipe it all off. then see how the trigger feels. It should be smooth. It should have no gritty feel to it. It shouldn't have any increase in the weight from the time you start pulling to the time that gun breaks. There should be no increase in weight until you hit the wall. And I keep talking about the wall. That's where the trigger will actually engage the sear that will release the firing pin. And once you get to that point, there should be very little or smooth, even resistance until you get to that point. Once you get to that point, then it should add some weight so you know you should be able to pull back and feel that wall. It's going to be a different weight once you hit the wall. Then the trigger should break cleanly and efficiently and should not give you, you know, any kind of, I guess I should say, not confident in where the trigger is going to break. And everyone says, oh, you just pull it and it's supposed to surprise you. Oh, bullcrap. You should not surprise yourself with your gun going off. You should know exactly where that trigger breaks, exactly how much weight you need to put on it to get to that wall. And you know that next little quarter inch or eighth inch or 1.3 millimeters is going to break that trigger and that gun's going to fire. You need to know that. You know, the old school training was, you know, oh, just squeeze it slowly until it breaks and it should surprise you. No, you want to know when that gun's going to break. You want to know when that trigger's going to fire. You want to know when that gun's going to go off. And that's something you work on with time. You work on with practice. And once you learn your reset, you know how far you have to move forward to reset, you don't have to let the trigger all the way out between shots. And a lot of people, when you're practicing, you first learn, you let the trigger all the way out. You may even take your finger out of the trigger guard. And then you fire the next shot. But when you start firing faster and trying to get multiple hits on a target or even multiple targets, you want to be able to know exactly how far you need to move that trigger forward to hit that break point again. And you should be able to feel it. Any good semi-automatic striker-fired weapon will have that reset. Or single action. You're going to let go of that trigger just enough to get that reset and not much more than that. And it will take time to learn as each gun is a little different. Some have longer resets, some have shorter resets. Once you learn it though, you don't have to let the trigger go all the way forward. Now some guns have triggers that have to go farther forward, almost to the point of resetting from the starting point. Which is, you know, for a carry gun, that's not terrible because it gives you a safety feature you don't have. On some of the guns geared more towards competition, you're going to have a shorter reset and a lighter trigger pull. And that's going to be something that's going to make it easier to shoot that gun more accurately and have multiple shots on a target or multiple targets. And like I said, if you just want a single weapon for defending yourself and that's all you're just thinking of is it a tool and you only need one, that's fine. Buy something that's kind of in the middle of all this. You don't want the shortest reset. You don't want the lightest trigger. You want something kind of in the middle and you want to know how it works. Or you get the single action, double action to where that first double action pull is very long, fairly heavy, so there's no mistake about firing the weapon. With a striker fired weapon, it's going to feel like a single action trigger break every single time. Now when I say single action, that's with a double action, single action weapon, which is what's known as SADA or DASA, double action, single action. When you pull that first long, heavy trigger pull, the next shot is going to be light, and it should break very cleanly and easily. Now, some of these, you're going to find these made by, Beretta, SIG, HK, Walther, FN, all have single action, double actions. But most of the gun manufacturers are going to striker-fired pistols in all the same companies, FN, SIG, Walther, Springfield, HK, Smith & Wesson, Canik, Taurus, Glock, Ruger, all are going to have CZ, all are going to have striker-fired handguns. Those are their most popular ones. Now, with those, most of them don't provide a manual safety that you can operate, that you can manipulate. Most of them have safety features built into the trigger. Like, say, some of them are hinged, like multi-piece triggers. When you grip it, you pull that hinge down enough to where you can fire it. Most of them have some sort of blade or surface that pulls back into the trigger itself and then enables you to continue on with your trigger pull until you hit that wall. You're going to pull, you're going to take the take up on that, and you're going to hit that wall, and it's going to break. Now, you can practice all these things once you purchase a weapon. You can practice it as long as you clear it first, make sure there's no live ammo nearby. Practice with that trigger. practice the reset. Pull the trigger, let it click, hold that finger, rack it, and then release it to see where the reset is and see how far it goes forward, and then pull it back again. These are things you can practice with a weapon. And it's good to know exactly where that reset is and exactly how far it is, and you should be able to feel it with your trigger finger. Like I say, there should be a tactile click that if you're wearing earmuffs in the range, you don't have to hear it, but you should be able to feel when that click takes place. It should be a clear, distinctive reset click that you have a tactile way of knowing when it happens. This will give you the best control over your weapon, give you the best control for multiple shots, and give you the most accurate possible way of shooting. So these are things you want to take into account when you're looking at a gun. I know that's a lot of information, and until you actually see it in action or feel it in action, you're not going to necessarily understand that, but it's something you can know, you can practice, you can have somebody who maybe has more information than you or more experience show you on one of their weapons before you purchase one. If they have several weapons, you can try, see the difference between resets on a duty weapon versus a competition weapon, versus a modified trigger versus a stock trigger. And all these things are going to make a difference when you select your weapon. Now, you'd be tempted to take the lightest possible trigger, and that could be good if you have that kind of control, but you have to be very careful with that to keep your finger off that trigger until you're ready to fire. And that's something a lot of people do. A lot of people, beginners especially, they pick up a gun, their finger goes instinctively into the trigger guard against the trigger without having checked it or not. Now, granted, you should check every weapon as you pick it up before you even put a finger on the trigger. But most, you can see somebody who has a little more experience will pick up a gun and their finger will ride high outside the trigger guard until they decide that they want to try that trigger. Then they'll make sure it's pointed in a safe direction. They'll rack it, check it, pull the trigger. And you can pull the trigger on most striker-fired weapons. In fact, the more you practice with it, put a little lube on all the contact points, practice with it some, it will smooth up as you practice with that trigger. And that's something you have to look out for. Okay, I got a couple minutes left. I want to go over sights. When it comes to sights, you got various types. You're going to have adjustable sights. You're going to have standard non-adjustable sights. You're going to have fiber optic sights. You're going to have night sights. Sometimes you want really low profile sights so they stay low and they don't drag. If you're pulling it out from inside clothing, you don't want to have big high angular sights that are going to catch on things as they're coming out. If you're going to shoot a gun with a suppressor, you want higher sights so you can see them over a suppressor. Now, that's not something you usually have to worry about for a carry gun, but also when you purchase a weapon, you got to decide, is this something you may eventually put an optic on or not? If it is, you want to get one that has an optic cut out. Now, this, it's complicated because there's so many different optics out there. Different cutouts require different adapter plates. And figuring out if you're going to get one that fits this type of optic you want to put on it sometimes requires additional purchases of a varied application of plates that will hold the optic you want. But if you have an optic, if you want something that fits really low, where you can actually see your sights and the optic, and when you're looking down those sights, you're going to see that red dot appear right where it would if your sights were lined up on target. That's another thing you want to consider if you're going to carry something with an optic on it or have a gun with an optic on it, depending on what you're doing. And shooting with an optic takes a lot of practice because it's different from shooting with standard open sights. But again, you get the grip adjusted or find a grip that suits you, you should be able to pick up that gun out of the box, out of the holster, and it should naturally be pointing very close to being on target where your sight should line up. Just by pulling the gun out and pointing it forward, the sight should line up almost instinctively. You should have very little adjustments. If not, learn what adjustments you have to make. So when you draw that weapon, the adjustments will be made as the gun comes out of the holster. So when you draw it, put it on target, it should be lining up the sights or the red dot or whatever you kind of sights you have on there. If they're night sights, you want to be able to see them at night. So something to consider, and these are all things you have to look at. And if you don't know somebody who knows this, you can go to your local gun store. They'll probably be more than happy to help you. However, if you go on a Saturday afternoon to a gun store and range, you may not get as much help as you need. All right. Well, that's all I got for today. I am Roger B. This has been Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.